This is a Clock Shelves Podcast Network production.
And welcome to another bonus episode of MCU and Me. As always, I am Paul Casey, and I am thrilled to have my guest back once again on the show. Go ahead and reintroduce yourself, sir.
Hey, everyone. It's Jake Wolkin.
Jake, you are, we talked about it very, very briefly right before this. Are you using this bonus episode to debut a new nickname? Is that correct?
Yes. So you mentioned I used to be on Lost with Friends, another podcast show that Clock Shelves was doing. And I got the nickname Mr. Lostpedia on that show because I used the website Lostpedia, like a form of Wikipedia, but just dedicated to the TV show Lost. I would use that a lot during our recordings just because it had a lot of good trivia on it or some background knowledge. And it was just a very helpful database and knowledge base to use to enhance our episodes. And there's one of these for the MCU. So I don't know, Mr. MCUpedia, I guess, is here.
Well, to be fair, let's not also forget, just as a brief aside, your Lostpedia nickname, I believe, also came from the fact that you said you could put together a better encyclopedia than the official Lost encyclopedia.
Easily. And I had to have that discussion with some Lost fans the other day about how it was a piece of garbage. And I think I convinced some people, but because every now and then, just on our the Lost Facebook groups that we follow, they get really excited when somebody's like, I found one, because they're out of print right now because they were a horrible piece of literature and should have been banned. And so people will find them and buy them every now and then for a ridiculous price. And then I'm like, ooh, do I got to be the one to kind of like tell them how bad it is? And so, I usually don't. But this particular one a couple weeks ago, I linked Lostpedia. I said, hey, this Lostpedia article talks about all the mistakes in there. And, and they were like, oh, my. You know, it was a little bit of an eye opener for them. But I don't think I could do the same with the MCU. I think I could put a decent one together, but I think Kevin would just wipe the floor with being able to put an MCUpedia, just even a Marvelpedia, I guess, together. That's all Kevin.
So now I'm interested if I could sell my copy of the Lost Encyclopedia for a hefty sum. Now you have me interested.
Yeah, you might be able to. Like, there, every now and then I see like a request if anybody find it or something. Keep your eyes open on those groups.
So speaking of a lot of money and things like that, we are discussing the Marvel one-shot All Hail the King. And when it comes to money and Marvel and things like that, as we know, they are constantly trying to make a buck out of us. And guys like you and me, we're pretty much right there to give them all of our money. And this one-shot in particular came out on the home media release. It used to be, you know, video release or DVD release. They don't really, you know, because everything's Blu-ray or digital or whatever. So now they say home media release. But this came out with Thor: The Dark World. And it's actually the last of the Marvel one-shots, which personally I think they would be well to do some more with Disney Plus now, with pretty much everything being on Disney Plus. I don't see any reason why they couldn't start to do more of these, put them up there as like little things, because they're already going to have some Marvel TV shows from Marvel Studios up there, things like that. But I have to ask you in particular, because you haven't been on the show since the Avengers, because now that we're sort of delving into the TV pockets of the universe, I know you're not necessarily that big on that. We're going to have a conversation about that later in this episode. But I do have to ask, were you at all aware of these one-shots? Had you seen them all, or was the kind of concept of these one-shots almost a new thing when I said, hey, would you want to be on this particular bonus episode of the podcast?
I was definitely aware of the one-shots. I think I watched the A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer. I definitely didn't prioritize them as I need to see these, since they are bonus material, as you've called them, where, you know, if you don't watch it, you're okay, you know. I knew they were pretty short, too, so it was always like, I'll get to it when I get to it. And then it just kind of, it's not always top of mind. So All Hail the King, I was aware of. I knew generally what it was about, not details or anything like that, but I hadn't watched it actually until you had reached out and said, would you want to do this? And I said, well, yeah, you know, I knew it was short. So I figured, yeah, you know, I'll definitely give it a watch. It's new material to me, you know,
right,
in a way.
And so one of the main reasons that I asked you to be on this was, again, one, you haven't really been on the show, but I know Marvel is something very near and dear to your heart. And I knew that because you helped me sort of kick off this show with talking about Iron Man, this absolutely does not wrap up the Iron Man saga, of course, as we know, without giving too much, you know, details away about future episodes and things. Obviously, Marvel and Tony Stark play a huge part in a lot of things going forward, but this does sort of wrap up, at least for now, two of the sort of villains from the Iron Man film franchise. And I thought it would be interesting to sort of get your perspective. And the fact that you hadn't seen these, which I'm going to be completely honest, I didn't think you had seen these. And I don't mean that in any sort of negative way. I just know that you know, just because you're the film guy. And like you said, these are very much, if you don't see them, it doesn't take away from anything else. You know, it's we talked about Lost very briefly. It's not dissimilar to even the epilogue that came after Lost, or the missing pieces, or anything like that. It's strictly bonus material. But personally, going through these, I kind of like them. Again, I said in some of the other ones, some of them seem to set up the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series with Coulson doing certain things. And this one almost lends itself to something that even now, within the next few years, as of this recording, is going to come to fruition with regards to the quote-unquote real story behind the Ten Rings and stuff like that. But I liked this. Is basically, just to quickly sum up the plot of this, Trevor Slattery, who we saw portrayed as the Mandarin in Iron Man 3, he's now in Seagate Prison, which is, from my understanding, you probably have it there on your MCUpedia. I believe that's from the comics. But he's there in prison, and he's being interviewed for a documentary, and he is a celebrity in his own right for various reasons. There's a quick little bit which seemed almost out of place, but not really, when it comes to the story of Trevor, where we're going to see a few minutes of a failed CBS pilot that he did. And then we see that the interviewer kind of talks down to him about having portrayed himself as the Mandarin and doing things with regards to the Ten Rings. And then we find out that the documentarian actually works for the Ten Rings and is supposed to take out Trevor due to taking on the Mandarin persona, let's just say. And, of course, in regards to the films, the Ten Rings were first referenced in Iron Man 1, which we discussed. I don't remember if we specifically brought it up there, because we were finding our footing in terms of what we would and wouldn't talk about with that. But they were first brought up there. And one of the I think it was the guy who directed Iron Man 3 actually went on to say that this in particular was almost an apology to fans, because some fans didn't like the fact that in Iron Man 3 they took the character of the Mandarin, who in the comics is one of Iron Man's big recurring villains, and turned him into a fictional character. And obviously they're comic characters, they're all fictional, but by that I mean someone being portrayed by an actor within this film universe and whatever. And this was sort of a way to introduce the concept that there actually is a Mandarin, he's actually not happy, the Ten Rings are a real thing, so on and so forth. And all of that, and thinking back now, of course, on Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, and even a little bit going ahead with what we do and don't know about the Ten Rings film going forward, did this sort of change your perspective on anything, kind of looking back at the original Iron Man, the first three films?
I don't think so. So not being big into the comics myself, I wasn't really aware that, you know, Mandarin and Ten Rings have a huge presence in the comics and in the Iron Man storyline through that. So I definitely didn't get the disappointment that some fans did, where they kind of thought the film wrote Ten Rings off as a joke when it's most definitely not. So I can see how they would feel that, and I would hope that this one shot kind of brought them back and said, no, we really do think the Ten Rings is real. And then, of course, you know, the upcoming film based around that as well. So, I didn't really get the whole disappointment from the Iron Man series and what happened in Iron Man 3. I didn't get that.
Okay. Well, to be completely honest, and I've talked before about how, you know, I was never really a big comic book reader. I would read sort of summaries and things like that. And having gotten into the MCU after Iron Man 3, but before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I didn't really know much like yourself, I didn't really know much about the Mandarin in the comics versus in the films. Looking back at it, I don't think that the Iron Man 3 made a joke of the Mandarin, like you said, many fans claim, and I've definitely seen where they said that. I think they could have done it better. I think it was just kind of a twist for the sake of a twist, and that doesn't always work out. And I think they kind of felt some of the backlash for that. But in regards to this, not even putting aside for a moment the fact that there is going to be the upcoming film about the Ten Rings and stuff, I think this did a pretty good job of just kind of leaving some ambiguity about it, not dissimilar to some of the other one-shots. I talked with our friend Lisa in the Agent Carter one, how there's some, you know, something happens in that, you know, she picks up a phone call at the end. And of course the Agent Carter TV series, I don't want to say it negates what you saw in the one shot, but it almost does, because a different version of some of the same events is presented and so on. And even the ones featuring Coulson, like I said, sort of set up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I think this did a very good job with setting up the potential that there was more. And much like I've talked about with regards to the TV series side of the MCU, this very much sets up there's another pocket of this universe. And realistically, had we never come back to this concept of the Ten Rings, which again we know we're going to with one of the upcoming films, I think it just leaves it open, not dissimilar to the comics in general, where you just get the feeling of there's this wider universe and there's more going on than just the stuff you're seeing in the films.
I would agree, and I love that about this one shot for sure, is the suspense and then the cliffhanger of it all. And it kind of had me like wanting more for it as well. Be like, all right, you can't just like end it here. Like, come on, let's keep following this. And Scoot McNairy, who plays Jackson Norris, one fantastic first name, by the way. Is that his real first name, by the way?
I'm double checking that.
I'm double checking this too. No, it's not. It's John Marcus McNairy. Ah, So he goes by Scoot. I don't know where the hell that came from. I'm not gonna like look too deep into his biography right now. But you know, I just watched him. Well, whenever it came out, fantastic job he did on Narcos Mexico season 2. And so, of course, I was happy to get more Scoot in my life. And I think he did a fantastic job here in all, you know, the short time we had him. But then it left me, you know, wanting more. And I, you know, of course, that's good. You know, that's getting me hyped up for the upcoming movie. For I mean, I was already for sure going to be in line to see it. But hoping now that this might potentially tie into that movie, I mean, I'm definitely there.
And that's the thing is with regards to those, some of those upcoming movies, you know, they're not. And it's funny because we talked about it. I think you and I talked about it. I know Kevin and I talked about it, and a few other people did as well. When some of the characters in Phase 1 were introduced, Iron Man in particular, nobody, I don't want to say nobody, but the mainstream didn't really know who Iron Man was. They knew the name, but they didn't really know much about the character. Everybody knew Captain America as, you know, it was like a, it was a joke. If, you know, you would call a soldier Captain America or whatever, but he wasn't really like a, well, you know, okay, he punched Hitler in the face on the cover of the first issue. Like that was kind of it. You know what I mean? And even Thor, okay, God of Thunder, you know, Norse mythology, whatever. Realistically, pre sort of these MCU movies, The Incredible Hulk, because of the 70s TV series, the X-Men, just because of how much they crossed over and the fact that they had had the films, and Spider-Man, because of the films and just the fact that he is definitely crossed over for decades into the mainstream. Arguably, they were the characters that people knew from Marvel. And DC has the same thing. You know, Aquaman gets made fun of all the time because he's not Batman or Superman. People are hesitant. Will a Flash movie work because it's not Batman or Superman or Wonder Woman? You know. And so with regards to the Ten Rings film, one, I definitely hope they continue this storyline and that they remember that they did this one shot. And two, most people, I think, kind of looked at, okay, so we're going to get the Ten Rings and we're going to get the Eternals. And, you know, there's a few other upcoming titles where people have looked and said, I don't know those characters. Am I going to be as interested? And realistically, that's kind of always been the MCU's sort of thing, is just because you don't know them doesn't mean they're not going to make a good product. And that's kind of been my argument. And you can even attest to this off air. You and I have had brief conversations about regards to the TV side of things. I've made the same comment to you. I've made it to a few other friends of ours as well. Just because it's not a character or characters that you're familiar with doesn't mean that it won't be good. And I would even argue that, you know, this one shot, okay, yes, everybody knows Ben Kingsley and, you know, you want to always see more Ben Kingsley in your life. But to be completely honest, out of Iron Man 3, if somebody had asked me when I, you know, at first, like, which character do you think, if we're going to do like a mini thing about this, about a character, I probably would not have picked Trevor Slattery to be the main character of a thing. But I think it definitely worked in this. And like I said, I think with some of the upcoming things, Ten Rings, the Eternals, and you know, a few others, I think that's going to be a major benefit. And like I said, I think the fact that they've already sort of set something up here with the fact that it does exist, and we see that there are people in various walks of life who sort of represent them, I think that could mean something really good for that film whenever it comes out.
I had a very similar discussion with a coworker when Phase 4 was released and we saw the titles, and he's like, you know, not too excited. You know, I don't really know some of these names. And I said, I don't know them either, but I'm sure as heck going to give them a shot. You know, like Marvel hasn't really screwed up too much. You know, when they've said this is going to be, you know, the main character, you know, the Iron Man, the Thor and stuff like that, they ended up turning out very well, you know. So I think it's fair to give Marvel a shot when they say, hey, you may have never heard of this character, but we're going to create a movie around them. It's probably going to turn out just fine, you know? So, yeah, I'm very excited for what's to come, not only with this Ten Rings, but like you said, Eternals. I'm not too familiar with them besides the little background research I've done since the title came out, since we knew that they were going to make an Eternals movie. But I still don't know a lot of their backstory, and I'm, you know what, and because it's Marvel, and they've got a good record of being able to get us to like characters that are new to us, I'm in.
So to sort of go along with that even more, before we started this, I was talking to you about how one of my bosses at my new job is a wrestling fan, so we'll talk stuff every so often. And you and I think I may have told you this story at one point, one of the last times that we saw each other in person. The wrestler, Batista, Dave Batista, the actor, who plays in Guardians of the Galaxy. Years ago, he had left wrestling and then, you know, crossed over, became an actor and things like that. And every so often, much like a John Cena, even The Rock, so on and so forth, they go back to wrestling because for them it's home, and they know that that's where a good portion, not the entirety, but a good portion of their fan base comes from, you know, sort of the I was there from the beginning sort of fans, because they were fans of them as wrestlers and crossed over when they crossed over into the mainstream and whatever. And at one point, Batista went back to wrestling or wanted to try to go back to wrestling and do a storyline where he could promote the first Guardians of the Galaxy. And allegedly, because I haven't seen any like official proof of this, but it's sort of one of those open secrets that exists on the internet. But allegedly, some of the top people in WWE said to him, nobody knows what this movie is going to be. Like, nobody knows these characters. We don't even know if it's gonna make money. Why would we promote it? Why would we have you back and do a storyline when we don't even know if this is gonna make money or whatever? And then, of course, we all remember how well the first Guardians of the Galaxy did and blew everything out of the water. And so that's sort of the way that I look at Marvel films in general, much like you said, where, you know, it you may not know it, but they're going to do a good job. And I always think that that's, you know, if I were him, every time I would walk back into the WWE offices, I would just, like, you know, be like, hey, Guardians, you know, like sort of thing, because, you know, people have those doubts. Like you said, your coworker was one of them. And I don't necessarily have the doubts with regards to the films. My big thing, and it's, I guess, sort of what people had with regards to Iron Man 3, is how much of the story are they going to keep and how much of the story are they going to change? And I have to admit, I don't mind when they change the story from, and I mean, what I mean by change the story is, you know, from the comics sort of perspective. And it's something that we've talked about with regards to the films. It's something that we, you know, on the TV side of the MCU, we've sort of talked about as well, how there are just certain characters where they mesh them into one character, or they take elements from this person, but they give them, you know, or they take a name, let's just say, and that's pretty much all they have. And I think there's something like that with regards to Scoot's character in this as well. Is I'm actually on the Wikipedia page here, and his character is Jackson Norris, but Norris has two S's. And it says, in the comics, the character's name is spelled Norris, N-O-R-R-I-S. While a video released as part of a viral marketing campaign for Captain America Civil War in May 2016 revealed that a separate character named Jackson Norris with one S in fact exists elsewhere in the MCU. So this is one of those instances where technically this is a character name from the comics, but they've retroactively, I guess, gone back and said, no, it's not the person. It was just sort of the name where they, you know, sort of lend it that way. And, you know, that's one of the things that I have again, I don't want to say hesitation with, but I'm more interested to see how they're going to do it. Like you said about, you know, doing a little bit of research into the Eternals, and you could do all the research you want, but we know that if they're going to change something because it fits the film or even the film universe at large, they're going to change part of the backstory or whatever, much like they did with the Mandarin in regards to this. And even we see a little bit here in sort of the post credits or mid credits scenes of this, where we see Sam Rockwell come back as Justin Hammer from Iron Man 2, you know, and we see just sort of a different perspective of a character that we know from the comics or even from a previous film or whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, okay, with regards to that, what did you think, again, you saw this for the first time, what did you think about Sam Rockwell's sort of cameo? I actually, to be completely honest, I forgot that it existed until I went back and watched this when we originally set this up. It's taken us a little bit of time to get this recording off the ground, but I actually forgot that he was even in this. So again, with you not having seen this before, what did you think about sort of this cameo from an Iron Man 2 character here?
I thought it was funny. So Sam Rockwell, I like typically the things that he is in the roles that he plays too. So good chuckle, good, oh yeah, hey, you know, that's, he's still a thing, I guess. And I don't know, like I said, I thought it was a good, you know, again, you know, in a way, a service to, of course, to the fans to say, hey, you know, like, we brought back this character that I'm sure you enjoyed when you watched him in the movie as well. So I thought it was funny, you know, and the Forbes magazine with Pepper Potts on the cover, the entire thing. Like I said, I had a good chuckle. It was good. It was good to see him.
Yeah. So very briefly, I don't know. Well, okay. So I'll kick it to you and see what you have in terms of MCUpedia notes. And then, cause I have right now in front of me, I have the Wikipedia page open for this and the IMDb page. But since you want to have the mantle of Mr. MCUpedia, I'll kick it to you. Unless we have anything else with regards to sort of the plot of this, I'll kick it to you for any notes and trivia sort of deal here.
There's really not much, you know, this MCUpedia site that I am using isn't as in depth on some articles, I should say, it's much in depth as Lostpedia was. So if you came over from Lost with friends and you were expecting some fantastic trivia or knowledge or behind the scenes from me here, I really don't have it. Though what MCUpedia, Marvel Cinematic Universe.fandom.com, for those that want to do it, I'm not hiding it. It talks about the things that we already brought up. So the whole, basically the big fact that a lot of people got disappointed because of the Mandarin twist in Iron Man 3, and that this one shot was the bit of an apology. And, they may bring back this character. Who knows? They Drew Pierce said that they may bring back this character and tease him for future appearances. That's all I got.
Which I would not be opposed to at all. And I think I speak for pretty much everybody when I say that either Scoot's character of Jackson Norris or Ben Kingsley as Trevor, I feel like either one of them would be welcomed back with open arms to the MCU.
Easily, yes.
So all I have here, again, I'm looking at regular old Wikipedia here, and it says Drew Pierce, who was the co-screenwriter of Iron Man 3 and one of the producers, had the idea for this, and Marvel Studios and Joss Whedon, who was, you know, very much a consultant and sort of, one might argue, co-captain of the ship at that point in terms of, you know, Kevin... Well, as we dubbed him, Kevin Marvel, you know, the two of them were sort of steering things in a general direction, and they were both positive about it. And it was written and directed by Pierce. And like we said already, Shane Black, who directed Iron Man 3, sort of said about, you know, the negative things and Pierce stated that he, with regards to the Ten Rings, Pierce stated that he found the group to be a very powerful part of the MCU due to their introduction in the universe's first film, and noted that producer Kevin Feige was excited to see a member of the organization be, quote, genuinely vicious, unquote. Because of this, Pierce worked to make the action in the short real and brutal to juxtapose the more comedic tone leading up to it, which he felt would increase the humor of Kingsley's Slattery anyway, given that the character, quote, does not respond to anything the same way any other right-minded human being, unquote, should. I think that's a really funny way of putting...
describing that character, yes.
Yeah. So very quickly, I wanted to ask you, and it's something I only very briefly mentioned when I gave the plot thing. What did you think... I said, to me, it was almost sort of out of left field, but then again, it does kind of fit in with anything regarding the Trevor character. What did you think of the Caged Heat pilot reel sort of thing that we saw there?
Just plain goofy, you know. It's what I liked about this one shot is it had great parts, comedic elements, and then of course the action that Scoot does and stuff, and then of course the suspense and the cliffhanger too, just all packed into 14 minutes. That's how long this thing is, just 14 minutes. And so, you know, it had me interested in the one shot at all points, whether it was to make me laugh, to make me go, yeah, awesome, wow, yeah, fight them and stuff, and at any part I enjoyed it. So I thought it was goofy. I thought it was really interesting too. It seemed like the character of Jackson Norris there really was trying to like break down Trevor, Ben Kingsley's character there. Like, you know, he kept bringing up the relationship with his mother, you know, the failed plot. And I don't know what, if he was just trying to get Trevor into this either depressed state or what, but break him down. But as, of course, mentioned too, Trevor's mind doesn't always work like that too. So, you know, the failed plot gets brought up and he's like, hell yeah, I was in that. Like, it was fantastic. You know, let me see that pilot. I haven't seen it in a while, you know, like where most people would be like, I don't really want to talk about that. It was a bad idea. It wasn't a good part of my career. You know, Trevor's the complete opposite. So again, that's where the comedic part came into, and I was laughing and enjoying that.
Well, so it's funny. So again, we talked about Lost, of course. It's one of the things that is the basis of our friendship in general. But just in thinking about it and having, I rewatched this today, just to sort of refresh my memory on it. But it almost seemed like you said, there were various points, right? There's the point where there's just sort of the prison sequence at the beginning with the voiceover, and then there's the actual interview sort of portion, and then there's the pilot, you know, very brief portion, and then there's the, you know, reveal of the reality of the Ten Rings and the fight and the action and stuff, and that's sort of how it ends. And it almost made me think similarly to the epilogue of Lost. And I know, again, if anybody out there isn't a fan of Lost, it's not necessarily important. If you are a fan of Lost, I think you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The fact that it's sort of broken up into like three or four sort of sections. That's how this, just in thinking about it today, it sort of reminded me of that sort of thing. And I, much like you, I liked it. It engaged me in all points, and there wasn't like a moment where I felt the need or desire to look away, to look at my phone, because it was, you know, and like you said, it was all in 14 minutes. They did these four, you know, at least four great sort of mini segments here, but everything changed so quickly that if you took your eyes away or, you know, stopped paying attention at all for, you know, even a minute, you would kind of miss the change in tone of the short.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the other things I thought was interesting, and this is one of those, I'm not gonna lie, I had to look it up. This normally I'll know a lot of this stuff right off the top of my head. The Caged Heat credits, it listed Mike Post as the guy who did the music for it, and he's actually known just very briefly looking at the beginning of his Wikipedia page. He's a multi-Grammy and Emmy-winning composer, best known for TV theme songs such as Law & Order, Law & Order SVU, The A-Team, NYPD Blues, Renegade, The Rockford Files, L.A. Law, Quantum Leap, Magnum P.I., and Hill Street Blues. So when they did, whether he actually did the music or if they just credited him as like a sort of wink, wink, nod, fantastic sort of reference there to, you know, an 80s cop but an 80s cop pilot and sort of the thing that would have Mike Post as.
Yeah, he would be the guy to do the theme song and stuff for for that show.
Exactly.
That's funny. I didn't know that one.
And let's see over on IMDb very quickly. Some of the notes there. So it says Trevor is imprisoned at Seagate Prison in the Marvel Comics. This is where superhero Luke Cage was created. There's two stickers for Liverpool Football Club, which in Iron Man 3, Trevor cheers when Liverpool scores. And that's pretty much it in terms, because it's just sort of some other stuff that we already talked about, generally speaking. But so, unless we had anything else, I wanted to sort of wrap this up by asking you a question. And I know I'm putting you on the spot here. This is something we didn't talk about off air. But with regards to this, and you said you knew about, you know, some of the other one shots, they weren't necessarily top of your list and things like that. And again, it's something I'm made reference to a few times in this, and I've definitely talked about in some other episodes of the podcast. So going forward, we don't know the next time that Jake is going to be on, because Jake tends to focus on the film side of the MCU, which again, many of our friends have done in doing these, even the one shots. I've found that out about several of our friends, that they didn't necessarily, for whatever reason, they didn't necessarily get into the TV side. But I wanted to ask you sort of a two-part question, but I know it's all going to be encompassed in one answer. Does this make you want to delve perhaps into the TV side of things, knowing that, you know, they and you said it yourself, Marvel hasn't really disappointed in terms of what they put out with regards to the films or the one shots, even the ones about characters you don't know. And two, it is a question I've asked you before, but I'm going to put you on the spot and have you answer to the fans and me now. And if you want to say you think about it, I completely understand. Once upon a time, I asked you if you might be interested in covering maybe the first few episodes of the Agent Carter TV series, only because one, it's a character that you know from the films, and two, it does sort of delve into that TV side, as I've said, that TV pocket of the MCU. So part one, the question, I'll sum it up again. Part one, does this make you want to maybe delve into the TV side? And two, if so, might you be willing to do the Agent Carter TV series when we finally get to that point in the podcast?
So prior to watching this one shot, my view on the TV shows were, I'll get to them when I get to them. not against them, but they're also nowhere near top priority. And that I wouldn't hate to do it. It's just a matter of time and really, really wanting to. This did not change my view on that at all. So when it comes to us doing Agent Carter, I'm still, I don't know exactly when you want to get to that in your rewatch and where it is on your list. I know you just kind of started Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it may be. Like, let's not count it out. You know, I'm not, like, just standing here saying, no, I'll never do it. It's maybe.
Right. Well, so here's my thing. And this is something you and I have talked about off air, and I'm going to give it as sort of a behind the scenes or behind the microphone, if you will, to some of the fans out there. And I know for a fact, Jake can attest to this, whether it's on Lost with Friends, even once or twice, I tried to get him on Wrestling Renegades or something like that. My thought with regards to putting these together is, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have people who are a fan of something on to talk about something that they like. I think that could definitely be a great thing. That's one of the reasons that I asked you and Kevin and even our friend Steve and a few other people to sort of kick off the MCU podcast was because, you know, you guys are big fans, you know. When it came time to do the TV side, because by the time people are listening to this, the few episodes of the TV series one will be out. It was Kevin and a friend of his who'd actually never watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before. He's watched all the films multiple times. So, like, when there's certain things that happen in the films that sort of ripple into the TV series, he knew where they fit even without doing a full rewatch and whatever. But it was just sort of that new or opposite perspective. And there was a particular Lost episode, and I know you know where I'm going with this story, Jake. There was a particular Lost episode that once upon a time I asked Jake to appear on. It's his least favorite episode of the entire series, Lost, and he was almost a very adamant no. I don't like that episode. I don't have any desire to be on it and whatever. And it took a little bit for me to finally accept that. I'll fully admit I did not want to accept that answer. Eventually I was like, okay, like, you know what? He's my friend. I'm not going to push him. I would never. And I think, you know, this, and again, many people who've been on the shows, and just friends of mine in general can attest. I try not to get somebody to do something that they don't genuinely, or, you know, I genuinely try not to get somebody to do something that they don't want to do. I might do like a little nudge or, you know, maybe try to talk you into it if I think it could be beneficial for something. But if you really, truly don't want to do it, I'm not going to push you. And that was one of the main reasons, because if you remember, I actually reached out to you as well for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and with regards to Agent Carter, because without, you know, with you not being sort of on the TV side, and it's always sort of been a, you know, maybe, or, you know, when I get to it, and you know, you've admitted and what, you know, whatever, like it's like you said, it's not top of your priority list. But I feel like you being sort of that outside perspective, and that's one of the things I've found with doing these one shots, even a few of our friends didn't know they existed, or like yourself, they knew they existed, they had just never gotten the time. And it was sort of like you said, even at the beginning of this, it was a new piece of Marvel for you to watch and enjoy. And a few of our friends said the same thing about, you know, the missing pieces on Lost, like some of them didn't know it existed. So it was, you know, they got to experience something new for Lost, which, you know, you don't get to have anymore or whatever. And so I'll be completely honest and transparent and say that's one of the main reasons that I have asked you to do that, was because I thought the interesting perspective of you not being the TV side and not making it a priority would be, you know, would make for an interesting discussion for when those episodes come. But out there, people, and I'll let Jake speak to all of that I just said in a moment, but I will say we have it on record. He has not said no. He has said maybe. So at the end, when we give out the social medias, that's when you can hammer him on social media to say, give Agent Carter a chance and be on the podcast. But now I'll open it up so Jake can finally speak to everything that I just rambled about.
Well, really, I would be more likely to probably binge Agent Carter, since that is a shorter series, did not last as long as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's got the leg up there. That's for sure. So whether I like it or hate it, you know, I can see it all the way through much quicker than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So like I said, the odds are looking better for that show.
Right. And like I said, and I again, if the answer is no, you know, I'll accept that as I have and as I spoke about a moment ago. But just to, like I said, to be completely open and transparent for anybody else out there, you know, that's why I try to get people on certain episodes, you know, and sometimes, you know, if you're looking at an episode description and you might think, you know, oh, I don't know this person. You know, we've had that a few of our Losty friends, whether they don't know each other or they, you know, maybe they don't know who's on the episode or they whatever. I don't want to say they're not willing to work with each other, but they're a bit more hesitant to either be on that episode or listen to that episode or whatever. But for the most part, with regards to any of the stuff that I try to do, I try to make it so that the perspectives will be interesting enough to sort of generate the conversation. And like I said, without knowing, because we haven't made any definitive plans as of right now for the next time Jake is going to be on the podcast, that's one of the reasons why I sort of have been floating that idea, because one, it'll give him a chance to see something new and talk about Marvel, which again he absolutely loves. That's why he was the first person that I got on this podcast. But again, also because, you know, the TV side obviously starts to take over very heavily. Just didn't know the next time that he would be on, which is again one of the reasons that I wanted to get you on this, because it's been a little bit since you've been on the show, and without knowing the next time, and again all of the things I said before about, you know, with regards to this referencing the Iron Man films and things like that, I thought it was almost the perfect storm to have you be on this episode sort of right in the middle of season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, towards the beginning of phase two of everything and all that sort of stuff. So that's a little peek behind the microphone for everybody, Jake included, because I'm sure he didn't know a lot of that.
It makes a lot of sense. I definitely get it.
But with regards to either this Marvel one-shot, because this is, as I said before, this is actually the last Marvel one-shot as of now. And that allegedly is because they started to be more and more expensive. And I believe this is around the time when Marvel started upping to doing 3 films a year as opposed to 2 films a year. And then even though, there's talk and rumors that the TV side and the film side didn't get along so well when it came to certain things with regards to Marvel. Basically, the Marvel films now had a weekly advertisement, you know, in regards to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and again, Agent Carter later on, would reference things, or they would do, you know, sort of the aftermath of things that happened in the film. So sort of with phase two, everything started to change. And, you know, these one shots started to become a bit more expensive because even as you said, you know, you saw a funny thing happen on the way to Thor's hammer. And realistically, that's 2 things. And there's like one kind of action sequence that might have taken a bit of time just to get, you know, Clark Gregg to or whoever to be able to do the moves. There's another one where it's Coulson and Sitwell just sitting. And then they reuse footage from the Incredible Hulk and whatever. But then they started getting kind of more expensive and more over the top. And so with regards to all of that, they sort of stopped doing these one shots. Again, I think with Disney Plus now, they would be smart to sort of bring it back. But with regards to All Hail the King or any of the Marvel one shots or anything else Marvel related, do we have anything else we want to talk about for this episode?
Off the top, I've got nothing.
All right. Well, then that is going to wrap it up for this bonus episode. But of course, before we get out of here, we have to let them know, Jake, since, you know, as I said, might not hear from you for a while on this show, at least, where can they find you on all corners of the internet?
Absolutely. So what do we got? Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, if you want to go that route. The handle is JakeLCE. Facebook, Jacob Wolken. I am following Clock Shelves, following Paul, so you can find me through there.
For me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JPGRB. You can follow my secondary Instagram at JPCS.PICS. I try to take at least 1 picture a day of things I'm doing. A lot of food stuff going on there. And my personal thoughts and feelings on things going on in my life as well. For all clock shelves related things on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, it's at Clock Shelves. That's CLOCKSHELVES. Again, that's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you want to support, patreon.com/clockshelves. Once again, CLOCKSHELVES. And the central hub for everything, where you can hear all past episodes, get more information about everybody involved with all things that we do, it's clockshelves.com, CLOCKSHELVES.COM. All right. Thank you, Jake, so much for being on here and taking the time. I know it took us a little bit to finally get to record this episode, but I'm so glad we did. I'm so glad we got to cover a lot more than I actually thought we were going to cover with regards to All Hail the King, the Marvel one-shots overall, and a bit of a peek into the sort of TV side and production side in general of Marvel and the MCU and Me podcast. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And as always, we will end by saying the full thanks for listening, true believers.